have something I want to get you to put in your diaries, if you would, please. Saturday the 15th of July, we're going to have a sort of eco-celebration, garden party, get our groups here doing things afternoon from 2 till 4:30. So we've got the youth band playing. We're going to have crafts for children that could lead to the Brownies and Rainbows getting a badge, a nature badge. You can see what we're doing with our eco garden. We've yet to invite other groups to do things, but fingers crossed. And we've also decided that we're going to have a scratch choir. So, you might. No, that's the bugs in the garden that make you do that. Yeah. So there'll be more details later, but if you like to sing, it's not going to be hymns, it's going to be whatever those who are musically intelligent decide should be played, and I'm not one of those. But just to put it in your diaries for now, so you can't say you weren't told and you didn't know about it. And we hope it's going to be a lovely afternoon to celebrate all our lovely outdoor space. And in celebrating this wonderful world and thinking about the issues in this world, we welcome Richard at the start of this, our Christian Aid Week, to lead our worship. Thanks.
And just to add one little thing, I think you overlooked, Judy. One of the reasons we're having this afternoon is because we have been successful in getting our silver level of the Eco Church Award. And we're going to get someone, not quite sure who at the moment, but someone to come and present us with that award on that day. And there'll be a presentation ceremony, we'll be part of it. So it's a celebration of what we've achieved so far. It's Cafe Church. It's Christian Aid Sunday. Normally on Christian Aid Sunday, we have a bit of a focus on the sort of development work that Christian Aid do overseas. But at least equally important is the campaigning work they do in Britain. So today we're going to focus much more on the campaigning work that's going on in Britain than we are on the overseas work. The overseas work, of course, continues. I think you're all of you who are delivering envelopes have got your envelopes, you know what you're doing. I know some of them have even been delivered already. Mine came through the door last night, so that's great. That's all on board. We've got some left over, okay? Now, I'm not suggesting doing any other streets or anything like that, but if you live on a street where there hasn't been any envelopes delivered and would like to take a handful and just pop them into the churches in your... the houses in your street or something like that. Please feel free to do those. Unfortunately, these are we're only allowed to use these on the year they're provided for. So if we don't put them through letterboxes, they'll just go in the bin. So if you can think of somewhere to put them, and you've got a little bit of spare time, don't answer that one. And you've got a little bit of spare time. And could give them to a street that, obviously don't give them to a street where they've already been delivered. People don't want to. But if you can think of a use for them, please take them and deliver them. But let's come now and worship God. And if there's one message that I think comes out of Christian Aid Week, it is that we are one world together. And as Christians, we come together as one community of people. And we're going to sing our first song this morning, In Christ There Is No East or West. John? Forgot I was driving this. Okay, let's go. In Christ there is no east or west, in him no south or north, but one great fellowship of love throughout the whole world. Please be seated. And we're going to join in this prayer. I'll read the light print, and if you could read the dark print. Creator God, you have created us and the world because you are love. The world is hurting from the climate crisis. This crisis hurts us all, especially our global neighbours. God, change our world, our communities, and us with your love. We want to journey with you to create a better future for everyone. God, be amongst our conversations. May they be filled with resurrection, hope, and power. Help us to serve others and all of creation so your world can be what you want it to be. Amen. And we'll have a brief reading from Ephesians.
First reading is from Ephesians 4, 21 to 25. When you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is Jesus, you were taught with regard to your former way of life, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbour, for we are all members of one body.
So that's a Bible reading about speaking truth. And Christian Aid are particularly keen that we speak truth and tell people what is happening at the moment. Just want to have a little show of hands. If I say the words together, climate justice, is that something, a concept that people are familiar with? Put your hands up if you recognize the term climate justice. Oh, that's pretty good. I've given this talk several times, and you're the highest positive respond rate. Would anybody like to come up here and define it? No. Okay. So that's how well you understand it, right? That's pretty much there. Okay. Oh, that's skipping 20 minutes ahead, but but that's pretty much there, and it will get you thinking along the right lines. So I would guess about half the people in the church had heard of the term before, and half the people in the church hadn't. Christian Aid are concerned that actually in much wider society, huge numbers of people haven't even heard of the term climate justice. And they would like us to have conversations with people and try and make people aware of the issue. But of course, we can only do that if we understand ourselves what we're talking about. So we're going to spend most of the morning trying to work out what climate justice actually means. And we're going to start off with a little figure. Okay, we're going to have a little bit of a thought about how income relates to the amount of carbon dioxide people put into the atmosphere, and therefore the amount of damage that's being caused. Okay? So if I were to ask you, the top 1% of people in the world, on an individual basis, how much money, what is the lower limit to the top 1% of people in the world in terms of an annual income? Sorry. Yeah, so how much, the top 1% of the population, what is their annual income? What is their, above what level? So if you think of the lowest person in that category, how much does they earn? There's a 40,000 here, there's a 100,000?
Billion.
Couple of millions? 60,000? Okay. Let's find out what the answer is. Okay. The top 1%, in order to qualify as one of the top 1% in the population, you have an income of round about £40,000. Okay? So, a senior nurse, a senior teacher, but not a headmaster, that sort of salary makes you in the top 1% internationally. There may be, I don't want to ask questions, but there may be some of you that's got pensions higher than that. Okay? I mean, you're obviously not your state pension, but your employment pension. What about to be in the top 10% in the world? What's the barrier there? It's £10,000. So that's a little bit less, I think, than the state pension at the moment. So if you're on the state pension, you are in the top 10% of income, and nothing else, you are on the top 10% of income across the world. If you look at half the world earn more than £1,500 a year, which, of course, the flip side of that is means that half the world earn less than £1,500 a year, which is about £30 a month. Okay? Wow. £30 a month, that's a pound a day. So that's that group. Okay. So that is how income is distributed around the world. Let's think about how much carbon dioxide the top 1% of the population emit each year. Like to have a guess? It's not quite that bad. 15%. So if you think if we were in a fur world, the top 1% would emit, top 1% of the population would emit 1% of the carbon dioxide, wouldn't they? That's how it should work. Actually, they emit 15% of the carbon dioxide. If you look at the top 10% of the population, which includes pretty much everybody here, I would guess, okay, they're responsible for emitting nearly half of the carbon dioxide that's emitted each year. Okay? So we, in the richer part of the world, are responsible for half the carbon dioxide emissions. If you look at the middle 40% of the world, well, actually, they're responsible to 44% of the emissions. So actually, that's about right. Okay? That's about their fair share. But then the really frightening thing is if you look at the poorest half of the world, they're only responsible for 7% of all the carbon dioxide that's emitted. Half the people on the planet emit virtually no carbon dioxide. This is a problem that's created by the rich people on the planet, and that includes us. I'm actually going to skip through these. I forgot to take them out. It's just the equivalent figures for Britain. Okay, now, let's think about this in a slightly different way. This is a map of the world. Okay, I think we can all recognize that. And you can see it's color-coded. And this is the amount of carbon dioxide that people in different countries have emitted since the Industrial Revolution. Okay, the darker the blue, the more you've emitted. So you can see the worst offender is the United States of America. Very dark blue. They've emitted far more carbon dioxide than anybody else. Russia has emitted a lot, and Western Europe as well. One problem with this graph is it hasn't been divided by population. So you can see how China looks like it's really bad. That's really because it's got lots of people. The amount of carbon dioxide per person isn't that bad. And correspondingly, Britain gets a kind of light blue. It should be a much darker blue if you take account of the fact it's got a relatively small population. But the important thing you can see is that across almost all of Africa, there has been no historical generation of carbon dioxide. Okay? It also happens across all of South America, apart from Brazil, and across a large part of Southeast Asia, and indeed across that belt through Pakistan, Afghanistan, and those sorts of countries. So those countries have emitted virtually no carbon dioxide historically. This is a picture of which countries are most vulnerable to climate change. The darker the pink, the more vulnerable the countries are to climate change. And can you see what happens? The countries that are most vulnerable to climate change are the countries that haven't emitted any carbon dioxide. It is fundamentally unfair, as Rob said. That's effectively what climate justice is. The people who are having problems now and are going to have problems in the future have had nothing to do with creating the problem. Normally quote famous Christians. I'm not quite sure whether Antonio Guterres is a Christian or not, but he's certainly United Nations Secretary General. Over the past 25 years, the richest 10% of the global population has been responsible for more than half of the carbon dioxide emissions. Rank injustice and equality on this scale is a cancer. Strong words for a professional diplomat and politician. We're going to watch a short video clip now that has been produced by Christian Aid to support its work in this area.
We recently recorded a version of Marvin Gaye's 1970s hit, Mercy, Mercy Me, probably the best-known soul song about the climate. When Marvin wrote this song 50 years ago, racial justice and climate justice were united in protest. But 50 years on, it seems to me that racial justice and climate justice are operating in parallel. If either is to succeed, does something need to change?
For me, climate justice is a racial justice issue because actually many of the people that experience the worst impacts are black and brown people. So if you're thinking globally, we know that it's people living in the global south, living in countries in Africa, in Bangladesh, in parts of Asia, in the Pacific Islands. Those are the people that are experiencing the most globally. But here in the UK, again, it is the poorest communities that are experiencing the worst impacts. When things get tough, it is poor communities that experience the worst of it, as we saw with coronavirus and the pandemic, and it will be that again. And so for me, this is a racial justice issue because it is an inequality issue. And we are Christians, and we know that we serve a God of justice, and so we have got to get this thing sorted, because if we don't, it is going to be the poor people, the black people, the brown people, who are going to be affected worse.
The climate crisis affects us all, but disproportionately impacts countries in the global south. It brings increased extreme weather events like floods, droughts, and hurricanes. And the countries hit hardest by that are the developing ones.
For Global South, I must say, it's a reality. And I'm from Dhaka, Bangladesh. It's one of the most climate vulnerable countries in the world. For us, floods, cyclones are more intense, are more frequent. After disaster, people try to cope. So in many cases, they marry off their young girl. They send off their young son to work. So they are out of school, both of them. It's not something anyone wants to do. Be a bride maybe at the age of 12, 13, and become a bread earner at the age of 8, 9, 10. Which is really, really difficult.
Marvin Gaye spoke of poison is the wind that blows. Today, that poison is what we're doing to our atmosphere. Vast, energy-hungry developed economies, the pollution that brings. Many of those effects cannot be undone.
For example, loss of life, loss of biodiversity, loss of ecosystem. So in many cases, these are not to be avoided or will not be avoided.
The countries suffering don't have the resources to deal with the devastating effects. Developed nations made a promise to provide $100 billion of support for developing countries by 2020. They didn't deliver that.
These people who are suffering the worst impacts of climate change contributed least to the problem. So it's an obligation for the global leaders to come forward and act accordingly. We have been talking about climate change loss and damage for more than 2.5 decades now. Still, I would say no tangible support we have received.
And without the financial support that was promised, what will life look like?
If we do not take reaction, as we from Global South, we shall be more in danger. When a UN was created, some countries were not existing, and now they're existing. So I believe if we do not take reaction, we shall go back in the life of not existing again.
If the temperature keeps rising, there will be no mercy, only misery for millions. David Attenborough is not alone in pointing out that it's the moral duty of richer nations to help the poorer ones.
It's about justice, and justice is about making reparation for the damages that you've done. The countries from the global south who are suffering because people in the north are creating the problem, creating the pollution. And so if you're going to fix the problem, you have to use the wealth that's being created off the back of these poor countries and distribute it. So it's about redistribution of the wealth that's coming there and to uplift those countries. And so to mitigate against climate injustice, racial injustice, we have to be able to help those countries financially.
Civil rights was the fight of Marvin Gaye's time. Climate justice is the fight of our time. Racial justice and climate justice are again today merging. We know that we need to do our bit in our own lives, but we also need to put consistent pressure on our leaders to do their bit.
So, we've got an election coming in, who knows what, 18 months. At that time, one of the smaller issues, from our perspective, will be this loss and damage fund. The idea that we should be paying to support the people in poor countries who are suffering from climate change now. And we need to make sure that that is one of the election issues that our politicians will move forwards with. Because, to be quite honest, all the money we collect in Christian Aid Week is a pittance compared to the money that's needed and that can be provided by national governments. So we need to try and make as many people aware of these things as possible, and Christian Aid are encouraging us to go out and chat to people about this. So we're going to start off, going to ask you to, in your groups now, to come up with a dictionary definition of climate justice. So if anybody comes to you and says, oh, what are you talking about at church yesterday? You can say, oh, climate justice. And they say, oh, what's that? And you'll be able to say, it's booty, 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 booty. Whatever it is that you've decided climate justice is on the basis of the information you've been provided with so far. Now, you know what happens with dictionary definitions, don't you? They end up being short and to be useful and missing things out. So when you've come up with a dictionary definition that you could give to somebody who was asking about what we talked about today, then actually reflect in the group about, from all that rich video you've heard, what is it that's been missed out by that simple definition? So I'm going to give you, probably until 5 past to write down a group dictionary definition and then think about what the definition doesn't cover. Okay, and I'll give you some paper to write it on. If you could, one's really just for reference. I'm going to ask you to read out your dictionary definitions, all of you. So we'll see whether we come up with the same or a different definition. That'll get you started. Okay. Can I have my roving mic, Steve? Is that on? Yep. Good. Okay, you all ready? Finishing touches done? Right, I'm going to have to stop the conversations, though, and we'll go around and see what you've come up with. I'll pick a table at random. Right, who's going to read your definition?
Well, we haven't really finished it. It's lack of balance between consumption of the Earth's resources and income, but we don't think that income's right.
Okay, that's fine. Lack of balance between consumption of the Earth's resources and income. Yep, okay. What have we got here?
Sorry. Polluter pays cost of offset and impact in other countries.
Polluter pays cost of offsetting impact in other countries. Okay. Who's going to read this one? Mandy?
I wasn't very sure.
Okay.
Climate justice reflects the fact that the rich nations, including us, are producing the greenhouse gases that are crippling the poorer nations with cyclones, flooding, fire and drought.
Okay, that's good. That's a slightly longer one, slightly more practical, I think. Yep. Who's reading this one?
positive action to rectify the disproportionate suffering caused by climate change.
Positive action to rectify the disproportionate suffering caused by climate change. Yep. Noreen.
The need to balance the disproportionate damage to the climate caused by the smallest proportion of the world population.
Yep, yep, that's good. We've got a reader here.
The need to create a fair and balanced approach to climate change using education and support for both rich and poor nations.
Yep. Have you got something?
Lots of discussion.
Lots of discussion. No conclusions. And what we got here? Rob, are you going to?
Yeah. Well, I did give it to yours. Yeah. So we've got a different one. A way of rebalancing the world economy in favour of those most vulnerable to climate change.
Excellent. Great. So there were some differences there, weren't there? I mean, there was broad consistency. Interesting, some people chose to identify the problem, and some people chose to identify the solution. Sort of two ways, capturing the essence of what we're talking about, but it's interesting that there were differences in whether you looked at the problem or the solution. And I would argue, I suppose, climate justice is about looking for the solutions for this, as well as being conscious of the problems. That second part of the question, do you think there's anything that's been missed out by that definition? Not all that convinced by our government or the American government or the Russian government at the moment, but I would say it's a separate issue. I think what we want to focus on today is the bigger issue, that it is completely unfair that we exclude these people. There's a second question, which is the mechanism, and I would agree with you, and Christian Aid would agree with you, that giving money to the governments, probably to a lot of these cases, isn't the solution. Okay, Christian Aid's solution has always been to give money to partner organisations, often Christian partner organisations, where they can be fully accountable and give the money to where it's needed. So I appreciate that it's an issue, but it shouldn't let us, shouldn't hide from us the fact that there's a fundamental justice issue here as well. Anybody else? There's two things. Yeah, there's two things. First of all, that the most important thing we do is stop doing any more damage. Exactly. But the other thing is you have got to realise that we have caused this damage. It's colossally unfair to expect somebody else to pay for the damage that's already been caused. So there's two actions we should be taking. We should be stopping causing the damage and admitting some responsibility for it. And anything else that's missing? I think there's one quite interesting thing that's missing. Nobody has mentioned the racial justice issue, isn't it? There's a complaint amongst coloured people that white people just don't see racial prejudice and racial justice. And I think we've kind of reinforced that view, that when a group of predominantly white people get together, even though we had 5 minutes talking about the interaction of racial justice and climate justice, that it just drops from our agenda. So we do need to remember that there is a racial element to this problem. Essentially, it's not completely true, but broadly speaking, white, wealthy people have caused the problem, and brown, black, and coloured, poorer people are reaping the effects of it. So we do have to acknowledge that that is an issue. Let's take a break and have a song again. Let's pray for the healing of the nations. Hymn 696, if you're using books. Oh, and it's me again.
nations. Lord, we pray with one accord for a just and equal sharing of the things that earth affords, to a life of love in action. Help us rise and pledge our
Please be seated. And thanks very much to the dancers. It's great to see you here. So, the question that moves on from this is what can we do? This is clearly a very big problem, completely beyond the capacity of any of us to do more than a small amount to support the work. Christian Aid are asking us to think about the issues and to share them with each other, and not just each other, but with people we meet, as a way of trying to raise this awareness of this issue, so that when politicians raise it later on, people recognise it, rather than being shocked or surprised by it. So the idea is, and they called it a climate justice roadshow, I think it was. So I've been around several locations, including going down to Chester a couple of weeks ago, to hold a session like this to try and help people understand what the issues are. Before we go on to that, we're just going to have one more Bible reading. Where have we heard this recently? In the middle of the coronation. It was bizarre. Absolutely bizarre. There was all this ostentatious wealth and all these jewels and all these suits and all these crowns. And the gospel message they chose was, he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. What did that service say about bringing good news to the poor? I don't know. Anyway, let's leave that aside and let's hear this very short reading from Luke's gospel.
Luke chapter 4, verses 18 to 19. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor.
Thank you. Just to get a bit political again, release the captives, free the oppressed. The police were actually locking them up at the same time. Let's go on. Even as Christians pray for heavenly paradise, we are called to bring that kingdom into being in the here and now. Jesus didn't say, the kingdom is coming. Jesus said, the kingdom is here. We're called to build God's kingdom, to care for creation, and to work to transform any unjust and exploitative structures that harm the earth and its people. And that is a quote from Rosemary Mallet, the Bishop of Croydon. So what can we do? Christian Aid are offering a number of opportunities for people to get involved in spreading the world and engaging with those, spreading the word and engaging those issues. One of them is a project that's really focused at schools, which is called Letters for Creation. And the idea here is that school groups have a session that's a bit simpler than one we're having, but essentially introduce children to what, children and young people, to the issues, and ask them to create artwork. And the artwork, first of all, is displayed within the schools. It's showed to parents to try and raise issues like that. And the end point is it actually gets sent to the local MP to show that this is what children and young people have been thinking about in their lessons. If there's an art group that wants to contribute from out of the education system, there's nothing to stop them. And there's quite a lot of information on the Christian Aid site. Google Christian Aid Letters for Creation, and there are guidance as to the sort of things you might like to do and how you can creatively engage with some of these issues. There is also a campaign, there almost always is, it's called hashtag Rise Up Pay Up, and this is a petition-based campaign, so you can go and sign up to the petition that says we want our politicians to sign up to the Loss and Damage Fund. So this is what's been agreed internationally, is that the rich countries will put £100 billion a year to support poorer countries to cope with climate change. So far, we've promised and agreed to do it, but we haven't actually put any money in the kitty. Okay? So this is to try and promote this as a petition to make sure that our politicians honour the pledges made on our behalf. There's a really interesting scheme called Constituency Campaigner, and I'll show you a little video clip of a Constituency Campaigner before we go into our next conversation. This is a number of sessions. They're a couple of hours long, once a month, I think, for 6 months, that teach people how to engage with their local politicians, okay, and how to present issues like this to their politicians. Then there's the Christian Aid would encourage you to protest when there are opportunities. This is a picture that was taken at the Glasgow meeting of the COP26 when there was a large public protest. Liz and I went up. We joined that. We're not actually on this picture. But all the Christian Aid agencies were there. Christian Aid were there, Tear Fund were there, CAFOD were there. Climate change is such a big issue for the aid agencies now that they are one of the driving forces in putting these large public demonstrations together. And actually, that's a picture of me at the big one, which was a protest on the, I think we actually went down on the 22nd of April. There was a large march through London. It lapped Parliament and actually caught up with its tail. So there were a lot of people there. Unfortunately, and quite a lot of them dressed in silly costumes. Quite a lot of butterflies and animals and symbols of what we're losing, but also a lot of campaigning groups with placards about the social justice issues as well. So Christian Aid would encourage you to use protest as a way of expressing your views. Christian Aid Week is an opportunity for us to maybe not focus so much on these specific issues, but we are going out. Even if someone doesn't respond and put money in that envelope, they have realised that there are people in Poynton who care about the black people in foreign countries who are suffering because of what's happening at the moment. And it's a small message, but it all builds and contributes to the overall picture of wanting justice for everyone. So we're going to have a little bit of a chat about what we might choose to do personally, but first of all, I want to show you one of these constituency campaigners, Helen Hughes.
when I'm out amongst the beauty of the environment and very conscious of the God who created this, who made it and loved it and wants us to enjoy creation, but also that we have a huge responsibility to care for the environment. And it's become increasingly clear to me over the years of the damage being done through climate change and the devastating effects that's having on individuals and whole countries are desperately affected. I know it's just not fair, and I feel that deep down that we can't just do nothing about it when people have caused, by our lifestyle, so much damage to the earth. I became aware that climate change was a major issue for Christian Aid, and I decided to sign up to become a campaigner. We can do so much as individuals, but there are people in government who have the power to change laws that will make a real difference to the environment. And I think that those of us who believe passionately about change have to be speaking to those who have the power to change things at a structural level. And I think it's really important as part of our church life. It's a real response to what I believe is a call from the Bible to be caring for the environment and to be working for justice, because I really feel strongly that campaigning on climate change is a real justice issue. I'm Helen Hughes, and I have faith in action.
You ask me what I think we need. I think we need more Helen Hughes's. So we're going to have another 5 minutes chatting with each other. The basic message is that we need to try and make sure these conversations continue outside church and in our local communities. So I want you to think a little bit about what opportunities you might have to talk about this. And I think there might be four groups you might think about. One of them is friends. One of them is family. One of them is neighbours. One of them is colleagues. Friends, family, neighbours and colleagues. How might you have conversations with them in order to show that you care about these issues? And then I also want you, when you've had a little bit of a chat about this, to think about how we could engage with our MP. Okay? I do this in the hope that we're going to move and try and get a Gold Eco Church Award. And in order to get a Gold Eco Church Award, one thing we've got to prove is that we are engaging with our politicians about climate issues. So the question is, how do we do that? And I don't want a glib answer, our MP is unlikely to respond. Okay? However much you might think that, I want you to think, it doesn't matter. We've still got to make our feelings known to our MPs. So think a little bit, maybe for 2 minutes, about how you could talk about it in your personal lives, and then maybe for 3 minutes, how could we actually engage with our MP and make sure that our MP knows that we have concerns on this issue? Another 5 minutes. And there's on the other side of the sheet, there's some space for you to jot down your ideas. Okay. I was worried we weren't going to get finished by half past 11, and then I noticed that the clock had stopped, and I thought, well, we can keep on going as long as we want. But it started again. I'm going to just leave the conversation about how you could engage with people around you, you sitting. If you want to chat with other tables, you can afterwards, you can have a chat about what different ideas you came up. But it is quite important for this eco-church issue that we think about how we might engage with our MP. So are there any ideas about how we could engage with our MP on an issue like this? Invite him to give our silver award to us. Okay. I've just invited the chairman of the district, but I'm sure he'd give it up if we could get David Rutley to come and give. So yes, that's a very good idea. Yeah. Judith, sorry? That's brilliant. Yeah, bring your film cap. Yeah. Those of you that remember Shawshank Redemption, keep on letter writing and eventually people will realise that these are important issues. I think there was John next.
I echo the very first one that said invite them to functions such as our July.
Yep. Yep. Okay, so we could do that.
But if you invite them, you've then got to challenge them and engage them, not let them use it as a photo op.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep, so that's it. That's good. Let's take Jean's got a...
I was going to suggest we have a petition from all the church members to our MP.
So I think a petition from all the church members?
And in fact, extend it to churches together.
It'd be good if we could do it as churches together.
But coming towards general elections, should we try and break to all the candidates?
That's an important thing, isn't it? We...
Because if they stand on it and people agree with it, it's to their advantage if they know that a lot of their...
Yep. Yep. So I'm not sure. Do we already know who the candidates are?
It's not,
the formal list will be a long time, won't it? But the informally, we can.
Yeah.
There must be clear front runners for these things. So yes, we mustn't forget that there are candidates other than the sitting MP who could we approach. Liz?
We could
see a slightly longer term plan would be to get a couple of people to sign up as constituency campaigners and learn how to do it. Yeah. Anything else? John?
You could
actually doorstep them. Yeah. They have surgeries where you can go and pretty much talk about whatever you want. You have to book. Okay, so we can't actually doorstep them, but we can book and do it in a civilised way. We could be outside the front door of the building with a little placard or something.
But with the new legislation, we probably will be arrested.
You could probably get arrested under the new legislation. I think several of us who are on the Eco Church Committee have heard this conversation, and we'll take some of the ideas forward. When I was working in Bramall, we did almost what you've suggested. We invited our local MP there. It's Anne Robinson to come along. She doesn't present as being any more interested in these issues than our MP, but she chose to come along. A group of about seven or eight of us met with her and spent about an hour. Voicing our concerns and listening to her replies to them. I was actually quite impressed to hear what she was saying. Partly because I got quite low expectations. But certainly, she was much more engaged with the issues than I expected. And it was a really nice feeling that we had expressed our views. They had been listened to. And that was an opportunity. So I think that's an example that these guys want to be elected. They want to contact us. And if we can present an opportunity to say, come and speak to us, particularly in this run-up to the election, they will very probably do it. So hopefully we'll engage with some of those issues in the not-too-far-distant future. Let's sing again. Show me how to stand for justice.
stand for justice, how to work for what is right, how to challenge false assumptions, how to walk within the light. May I learn to share more freely in a world so full of greed, showing your immense compassion. Satisfaction, boasting of what I have done, but rejoice that I am pardoned and accepted by your Son. Gladly I embrace a lifestyle modeled on your living word, in humility submitting.
Please be seated. We're going to say a prayer that was written for the Climate Justice Roadshow, but I think is particularly suited for this morning when many of us will be going out and delivering envelopes and standing up for justice and for our faith, and acknowledging those that have already been out and done it. A reading from Deuteronomy first, though. Be strong and bold. Have no fear or dread, because it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Before God, who gives us all we need, before one another with whom we are in community, we commit to live lives that build the kingdom. We commit to stand with our sisters and brothers around the world living in poverty. We commit to calling for climate justice in every way we can. We bring our dreams, our ideas, our insights. We bring our skills, our talents, ourselves. We offer what we have before God in pursuit of justice and the common good. Let justice roll down like a river. May righteousness flow like a never-ending stream. May the joy of creation fill us anew as we pray, act, and give for the restoration of creation and the flourishing of all people. In the name of the Creator, Son, and Spirit. Amen. And let's finish with a song that sends us out to do God's will and sends us out in the words of a South American poet. Sent by the Lord am I. Sent by the Lord am I, my hands are ready now to make the earth a place in which the kingdom comes. Sent by the Lord am I, my hands are ready now to make the earth a place in which the kingdom comes. The angels cannot change the world of hurt and pain into
riches and of peace. The task is mine to do, to save.